A Long Way From Home, written by Peter Carey and read by Amos Phillips and Eloise Oxer.
For a girl to defeat one father is a challenge. But there were two standing between me and what I wanted, which was, not to fiddle faddle, a lovely little fellow named Titch Bobs. The first father was my own. When he discovered that I, his teeny Irene, his little mouse, his petite-sized mademoiselle, had all by herself proposed matrimony to a man of 5'3", he spat his Wheaties in his plate. Titch's father was number two. He came out of the gate at a gallop, 100% in favour. I was a beauty, a bobby dazzler, until, in the hallway, by the coat stand, he gave me cause to slap his face. My sister was older and more experienced. She could not see why I would want so small a husband. Did I plan to breed a team of mice? Ha, bloody ha. Beverly was 5'2½, and always breaking off engagements to Lanky Lurch or Gigantic Dino, or the famous football player whose name I am not ignorant enough to mention. I would have been afraid to shake his hand. Forget the other business. Beverly made her bed and got what you might expect, i.e., 30-hour labours and heads as big as pumpkins. My own children were as tiny and perfect as their daddy, ideal in their proportions, in the lovely coordination of their limbs, in the pink, apple-y cheeks they inherited from Titch, the smile they got from me. My sister could not abide my happiness. She would spend years looking for evidence that it was fake. When the first husband ran away to New Zealand, she wrote me a spiteful letter saying I was more interested in my husband than in my kiddies. She said her boys were everything to her. She knew, she wrote, I only married Titch because of the money I could get from him. She was upset, of course. Why wouldn't she be? She had married a bastard. She was divorced without a penny, so could she please go and live in the childhood home we had both inherited and whose sale she had always managed to impede? Could Titch and I have used the money? She didn't ask. Would it have changed our lives? Of course. I agreed on a peppercorn rent and kept my feelings to myself. Beverly liked to say that I was willful, which was an idea she had got from Mum. But Mum liked me being willful. She got a real kick from seeing how I got my way. Of course she was a bit the same, Mum, and she was blessed with such neat level teeth and cheekbones, you would do anything to see her smile, even if you had to buy her a washing machine to make her do it. She got Dad to purchase the Ford, which was what brought Titch to our door in Geelong, Victoria, Australia. It was Victory in Europe Day, May 8th, 1945. No one will ever know how Mum planned to utilise the Ford. Drive down to Colac and see her sister after church? That was one story not even Dad could swallow. Didn't matter. He went on and wrote the cheque to the salesman, Dan Bobst, who, as I discovered when I opened the front door on VE Day, had thrown in free driving lessons, which would be supplied by his sonny. Oh, Lord. What a sight that sonny was. There on our front porch, with his cardboard suitcase on a Tuesday morning, I learned he was to stay with us. Poor Mum, alas. She never got to put the key in the ignition, and everyone was so upset and busy with the funeral, no one told the young man that he should leave. He had nowhere else to stay, so he unpacked his port and awaited instructions, as he later liked to say. The Ford was parked in our drive, with no sign that it was now part of the deceased estate. My mum was in the Mount Deneed Cemetery, and the new boarder was the only one who helped me go through her things. He said nothing about the car or about the lessons he had been expected to give to the deceased. He asked me if I knew how to drive. I told him that if he could be home by 6 at night, he could have tea with us. In the midst of all the sadness, the pretty red-cheeked man was a great comfort I could not do without. I held my breath, I cooked for him, and he scraped his plate clean and helped with the drying up. He was neat. When I cried, he comforted me. He left talcum powder on the bathroom floor.